We're going to turn to Psalm 86 for our thoughts this morning. Some of the Bibles attribute this to the sons of Korah. Our Bible mentions it's a prayer of David. But what the deal is there's four psalms that are together here. And right in the middle of these four, there was this one that we're looking at this morning as it comes from David. Some people don't think it was because of what was written. Because what is written here is quotations from other scriptures that we find already. Because you can locate them by searching back into Psalms 25 through 28. And also over in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, you'll find many of these almost word for word in those four different places in the scriptures. And so they were brought together. But, you know, it still makes us stand out because we know that David stood up against a lot of some very, very formidable foes in his life as he tried to grow up and tried to be the leader of Israel. So we're going to read the first 10 verses and then skip down to the end. Oh, well, we'll kind of look at the whole psalm. Hear the words of the Lord as we join this prayer. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there's none like you, Lord, nor deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you've made will come and worship you, Lord. They will bring you glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save the son of a woman who served before you. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and pray that you'll watch over us. For over the years, many times we've cried out to you, Lord, for help, for wisdom and strength. And we thank you for your answer as we are reminded once again of your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know what you feel about the title I gave my little thoughts this morning. I put down that it's our perks from God. You know what perks are. How many times have you enjoyed them? And when you went to be involved with a company to work for them and be their employee, wasn't one of the things that you were interested in the perks that you got? How about your vacation? You know, you started out with so many days. After you've been there so long, you got to add so many days, and you got to add so many days, and as you stay there, and I don't know what your limit would be, but a lot of people stay there about 20 years, and if you're there that long for some reason, you get a month to 5 weeks. Yeah, what would you do with 5 weeks vacation? I mean, now that we're, a lot of us are retired, you know, it doesn't matter because we have whatever we want to do. But when we were working, when we were putting 80 and 60 or 80 hours or whatever we had to put in, you know, and we enjoy your vacation, I'm sure we could think of something to do for 5 weeks as we went through it. And there were other perks. You know, today especially I was reading some articles in the paper about truckers and everything else. And you know, many places, they have gyms, they have small exercise rooms where you can, if you get tired or because, you know, exercise kind of wakes you up and gets your blood circulating and keeps you in good shape, because they want you in good health. And so they put in these exercises room where you can go before work and get yourself percolating. During the afternoon, your lunch hour, many of them let you go outside and sit where they prepared patios in the shade for it. There's all kinds of things that companies do. And usually when we get involved with them, we want to know something about them, don't we? Because we want the perks. I don't know if this is sacrilegious or not. I hope you'll forgive me. But I think these are perks from God. These are blessings. These are added items to our life that we don't have if we're not in the family of God. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All man cometh unto the Father through by me. Right? I think I got that right. So this is what we receive because now we are in the family of God. David put it in writing for us, probably more eloquently and better than a lot of us would put things in writing, okay? But you see, he's talking about God's covenant. He didn't use the word covenant, but he's talking about a covenant that he made with all of the people. And you know, that makes him, it makes it valuable. It's more valuable than even diamonds. I know they're pretty, and when the light hits the facets just right, you know, the wonderful colors they go. But do you realize that if you use diamonds in your work, they do deteriorate and wear away? If you have the diamonds on the edge of a saw blade that is cutting hard metal or other stones that are very, very close to the number 10 that they give the diamonds for hardness, but if you're grinding away things that are 6.5, 7, 8, 9.5, some of those jades and jaspers are that hard, as you grind them and cut them into slabs and pieces, you wear away the diamonds. And sooner or later, you're going to take that wheel off your cutting machine and you're going to either send it back to the company and have it redone, or you're going to buy a new one. There was a company in Western New York when we lived there that had made diamond saw blades. And they sent them overseas and everything else for cutting hard metal. And they would get them back and they would redo them and clean them and somehow re-embed diamonds on them. So that's why I feel these promises are more important and more valuable than diamonds are. As pretty as diamonds are and as great as they reflect in all of their little facets that are on there, God's promises just are not going to wear away. You know, and our call to worship, and in the songs that were picked for us today, you know, these promises of God don't wear away. We stand on them with good footing, not partial footing. We stand on them with good footing. So we start out with the fact that there's a series of petitions that request God's intention and attention. And so that's something that we need when we are in desperate trouble. In the first verse, God says, hear me and answer me. And he describes his situation. And down in the sixth verse, he said, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry. When I'm in stress, I call you. And these two verses. So we have a series of petitions that we can bring to God. And, you know, we do it. I trust we do it at home as well as we do here in the church. That because we feel comfortable doing it. I know. Don't you feel comfortable in going to God? We don't go with fear and trembling, do we? Don't we have that presence of God so secure in our lives that we just know it's okay. It's really good. We can talk to him and ask him for his help. And David feels so comfortable with it. He said, you know, I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. Because, you know, he keeps that relationship alive, and he wants us to walk with him. He uses three different names, if we could go back to the older versions that use a lot of the Greek words. We would find that there were three different names that David used in here. The one of them was Jehovah. Now, that's the English version of the old scripture way of Yahweh, as he calls it. He says Jehovah. And then he uses Adonai, which is saying the Lord is righteous. And he puts that in here. And then he also uses the word Elohim, which tells us, and he says, my Lord. All of the things that he's saying here, he's trying to help people understand, A, his attitude to where he thinks about God. Because in his eye, his spiritual eye and in his mind, there is no other God that has anything to do with it. And you know, he would know that because he lived in a time when they were more, and I don't know, more prevalent, but at least they in some ways they were more visible because they would have their little park areas where they could have their individual idols and people would go. They were really public. And I imagine if we were in the right place, we could find visual idols made of wood or copper, or maybe if they're really got enough money, they were at least covered with gold. And so, you know, but he's saying, what, they can't do anything for us. They're not alive. It's your creation. I'm devoted to you because of this. There is no other person that could have done all of this in this world. So, Lord, above all things, guard my life. Some of the translations say, preserve me. We want to be kept safe. We want to be kept sound in every aspect of our lives. Why do I feel comfortable? Because I'm devoted to you, he said. I am faithful to you. I am your servant who trusts you. Put joy in your servant. I put my trust in you, down in verse 4. So all of this has to do with it. Our blessings of God. I label them as perks. I don't know how you think of them. I think it's special because we belong to the family of God. No other family, I don't know how to word this, but no other religious family, so to speak, that does not accept Jehovah God and Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, or the Holy Spirit, can provide this for you. God's unique. He's one of a kind. I know we've found imitations and people who want to make him something, but truly and faithfully, he's one of a kind. And so we are so fortunate, we do. David in the 7th verse said, when I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Boy, you know, he feels confident in God. He feels competent, and that God is competent. Did you ever feel sometimes he wasn't? I hope not. Otherwise, if you don't feel that way, I don't know why. But you see, he just feels God is so competent to take care of him. He trusts him forever. And isn't that a wonderful blessing? His character never changes. From verse 8 on down through to verse 13. He confesses, he makes a confession like he really knows God in a really personal way. There is no other God like you. No deeds can compare with yours. You know, isn't that like someone experienced it? You know, David didn't have an easy life. Try guarding sheep out on the hills. And when it's 95 degrees, or whatever it gets to be in the meadows of Israel in the summertime, and how it cools down at night, and you have to watch over them because they wander away, and you got to keep them together and make sure they don't eat some of the bad weeds and get sick. So you got your hands full. And his life didn't get any easier when he was sent away, because before you know it, he's standing up to meet Goliath. Now there's a chore for you. Would you have the power and the strength to do that? Not a lie. And then he has, because people say that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s, Saul becomes angry and upset and tries to take David's life. And so David runs for his life. He hides here and there, and if he needs a friend to help him stay away from Saul. So David's life really wasn't, a snap, even if he did get to be king. He had his days. I'm sure he had some days when, and then he had days that were terrific. And he had days when, but his focus is always on walking with God. Teach me your way, Lord, so that I can remain on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Okay, that's important. We're often exposed to temptations. I'm sure we're not going to meet some of those dangers that David did, but we're still exposed to temptations out there about this or about that. You know, we need the power of God. David expressed it very well. Give me an undivided heart, a sincere heart. We can't serve two masters. It isn't really, it doesn't work, does it? If you've ever tried it, you usually favor one above the other. Okay? Unite my heart is another way of saying it. Help me stay ourselves together. He finishes up at the end in verses 14 down through the end about that God is always going to remain faithful and be there. Because he speaks about arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless people seeks my life. And they have no regard for you. You know? People who are confident in their abilities, their own abilities. But as you and I have experienced, sometimes our abilities are just not enough. We need the presence of God and strength for us day after day, time after time. We meet some things that are beyond us. So we just have to put our faith in God. And that's, isn't that wonderful that we have something to turn to, some person? He said, and it's because these people are ignorant and they stay away from God. They're attacking me and they seek my life. They have no regard for you. They're indifferent. And what David wants there, he looks away from that because he doesn't want to feel indifferent, which saying, I stay away from that. In verse 5, he confessed that he loved the Lord. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call you. And then over in verse 13, he said, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. You know, above all, as we walk with God, he will walk with us. Sometimes the walk that this world proposes have no real solutions for us. When we get done with all of what they ask us to be involved in, we find that we still have the same problem. We need to be able to let God help us solve that problem to the best of our ability. Tell us where to go. You know, help us discover the help we need, the power that we need from God. Because, you know, God's good. Sometimes there are churches, and Gladys and I, as we have visited around and done things, we discover this, that, you know, some of the kind, when we had in one of our churches, there was they only had a guitar player, and he would get up and he would start things going in the morning, similar to what we're doing. But for, he just liked, he had a saying. And the saying went this way. He would get up in front, and after he had a few strums, he would stop. And he would say, God is good. And the people in the congregation would repeat, all the time. Then the leader would say, all the time. And the people would say, God is good. Do we believe that? Is he ours? You know, it might be hard to say God is good all the time because of things we go through. But you know, if we trust the Lord, we need to think like that in order to live like that. That would enable us to feel that God is good all the time. And we can call upon him all the time. Let us pray. God, you are so good. You are with us all the time. Help us not to forget this in the midst of our trials and tribulations, that you are there. I know we can't see you with our eyes, but we can feel you and see you with our heart. Thank you for being our God. Guide our thinking, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.